Another Halloween has come and gone, but we've still got the lockout. Sigh. There's still hockey. Chris and I are going to talk about some of that right now. Welcome to Pucked in the Head. This is the podcast where we have nothing to talk about because there's no NHL hockey for anyone to watch. So we thought we'd get together and talk about hockey anyway. My dear friend Chris Withers is sitting across from me wearing perhaps the ugliest hockey jersey this side of the Mighty Ducks of Anaheim.
That is categorically false, Jason, and you know it because you purchased this jersey for me. And you would not purchase what you thought was the ugliest jersey in history.
How little you know me. You'll notice I did not purchase it for myself.
Well, that is true. I am here wearing the jersey of the Deutsche Elitligen, the German Hockey League's EHC Wolfsburg Grizzly Adams. Not their regular jersey, but their Halloween special. Which is fantastic.
I have to admit that it's pretty special. This jersey, now we're going to have photos up on the website. I've taken a number of photos of my good friend Chris Withers in this abomination. They have taken the grizzly bear that is their team mascot and they have zombified him.
There are quite literally brains exposed.
You can see exposed brains. He's got some sort of Wolverine scars on one arm. He's holding a hockey stick like a scythe and cutting into a bloody pumpkin.
Well, I think it is a scythe. Like, normally it is a hockey stick. That's just their logo. They've changed it to a scythe, which is impaling a jack-o'-lantern. There's some sort of ghoul down here.
A ghoul or a zombie or something on both sides of the jersey.
There's a witch crossing the moon on one shoulder. It's amazing.
It is outstanding. And there are large numbers dripping blood on the arms and on the back. You got a specific player.
I did. Kai Hoschbelt, a player for the German national team.
Uh-huh.
One of the leading scorers on the Grizzly Adams.
Do you think that if you were to run into Christian Ehrhoff, he would know who this fellow was?
I would think so. I believe they've played together.
Well, hopefully. There is some NHL hockey at some point, and you can wear this god-awful jersey and go walk up to Mr. Ehrhoff and ask him, you know, what he thinks of the whole thing. It is a pretty spectacular mess.
It is a little busy, but it's busy in a good way.
For a European jersey, Euro jerseys are not known for their subtlety in the first place. There's no subtlety on this jersey, but they have kept the advertising to a minimum. Usually they look like race cars over there.
They do. There's a number of photos floating around of just hilarious pictures of NHL players. Your eye doesn't even want to look to focus on the player. It's just trying to figure out which products and services to buy based on the shirt that they're wearing. Right.
It's amazing. But we'll have lots of photos on the website, puckedinthehead.com, of course. And you can follow me on Twitter at puckedinthehead. All one word. Chris is at Chris_Withers.
And I would like to say on the record, thank you very kindly for the jersey.
Now, I have to say, we had a deal at the beginning of the season that I agreed to purchase you a jersey from this team if you covered the team for the length of the lockout.
You're going to guilt trip me on the air here. You already guilt tripped me in person and via text message. I will continue to write.
Almost to the day, from the time that I said, hey, do you want this jersey? And then suddenly the article stopped.
But I didn't know you were actually going to buy the thing. It wasn't until a couple of weeks later that I actually realized that you'd ordered the damn thing.
Now, it is true. I do talk a lot of trash, and I put a lot of ideas out there. And I'm an idea guy. I don't follow through on all of them. But yeah, I just thought it was funny. Your attention to detail and following through on your end of the bargain has not happened thus far. So tell me a little bit about Grizzly Adams. How many teams are in the Deutsche Elite League?
It is a 14-team league.
14 teams. That's roughly the number of good teams there are on the NHL.
That's true. That is true. Okay. They go to a 10-team playoff.
So four teams miss the playoffs. How many games do they play during a season?
It's CFL-esque. That is a good question.
Do they have two teams named the Grizzly Adams?
No, they don't. I will pass that suggestion along, though.
By the way, while Chris is looking at the schedule, I have to say the people at the Grizzly Adams, they really know how to treat people. So I ordered this jersey. I was the only person from North America to order one of these jerseys. They had about 100 orders for this special Halloween jersey, and they advertised that for everyone who ordered by the 15th of October, they would receive it by the 31st. Now, of course, the majority of the 100 and some odd people who ordered them were Germans, so it made sense they would get it by the 31st. There apparently was one fan in Italy, and then us in North America.
Excellent.
Yes, so you are the only person...
In North America. To have this shirt.
To own this shirt.
All right. To answer your question, 51 is the number of games that they play in a
51.
Season. 51.
I don't see how that works. 51.
Here is their schedule.
That is an odd number, literally. That's a strange number.
I agree.
Now, it would make sense if there were 17 opponents, they would play three times against each team.
That does make sense, yes.
But... there are only 13 opponents if there are 14 teams. So that mathematically, unless they're playing some, are there divisions in this league?
I don't think so. No, it's a single table on the website. So,
okay.
Yeah.
Huh. I wonder if regionally, perhaps they play some teams more than others.
Could very easily be.
Because usually the Germans, you would expect them to have an efficient model. Wouldn't you?
You would think so. Although, you know, they have... had their asses soundly kicked a couple of times after having an efficient model, so you never know.
Wow. You went there. You actually went there. Wow. I'm going to change the subject now. That was... wow. You look uncomfortable.
All right, yeah, let's move on. To all of our listeners out there... after I apologize for, you know, referring to the Nazis on a hockey podcast, I would just like to extend this offer. If you have a team that you wish to fail completely and utterly, let me know, and for a fee, I will begin cheering for that team that they may sink to the bottom of the league that they play in. Grizzly Adams, after a run to the playoffs last year, are mired firmly in last place in the German league this year.
And I believe at the beginning of the season, you also stated that because the NHL was not playing, you would cheer for the Vancouver Giants.
Yes.
They
are at the bottom.
Also stink. Now, I believe they've actually climbed out of last place now. I think they have climbed out of last place, but they are not a good team.
No.
I have been going to some Giants games, shooting some Giants games. I've also gone to one Abbotsford Heat game, and I'm hoping to go to more. Chris, do you have any comments about... now, you have not been going to games. You've been going to Whitecaps games, soccer.
Is now finished, so I have more free time.
Right. But you haven't been watching hockey at all.
No.
How do you feel, man? Do you miss it at all?
Not particularly.
Because I got to tell you, as much as I love NHL hockey, I'm not missing it.
No, there's other things to capture my attention right now. I think once we get into, let's say, January and February, if the lockout is still going on, there's going to be a month or two where it gets a little dry for me. But then the Whitecaps are going to start back up again.
MLS soccer is a long season.
Yeah, there's NFL football. The Lions are in the West Division Final on Sunday.
For people outside of Canada, he didn't just mention the Detroit Lions. He was talking about the BC Lions who play in the Canadian Football League. Even though he said NFL, he then jumped to CFL. We have our playoffs starting this week.
And you know what? There's still lots of soccer going on around the world.
Okay.
Yeah.
So I would like to talk a little bit about the Abbotsford Heat. Sure. Okay. Now this team just got into first place in this division, and last podcast I went on and on about it, how they're not getting the crowds. Now they did sell out the weekend games against the Oklahoma City Barons.
Yeah.
With all of the Oilers young guns, and I got a little bit of tape from Taylor Hall.
You don't get to play in Canada much this year, maybe for the entire season. What is it like? Is that an adjustment to playing Oklahoma as opposed to Edmonton?
Yeah, it is. You know, it's just not a hockey market like it is in here in Canada. But it is a little bit of a change, and you know, we can walk around on the street and no one really knows who we are. So we're having fun down there, but at the same time, coming back to Canada and playing in front of a packed crowd is a lot of fun.
Not paying any attention to what's going on in New York.
Yeah, well, obviously we always know what's going on, and Don Fierro's done a really good job of letting us know exactly what's going on, and it's unfortunate we're not playing right now. With everything that I said, I'd rather be in Edmonton playing in front of our fans, but right now we're having fun, and hopefully this results in.
What play do you think determined the outcome of tonight's game?
I'm going to go with the overtime winner.
Did you really notice the difference playing in the AHL compared to the NHL? Did it really affect the way you played the game?
There's little things that you do a little bit different in the AHL. I mean, the play isn't as quick, so you have to slow yourself down just a little bit. But other than that, it's still hockey. It's still a game where you have to get pucks in the net and you have to play well on your own end. And other than that, there's not a whole lot of change.
Do you see a lot of more pressure on you being someone that has played at the NHL level than your teammates?
Yeah, there's always pressure, especially when you play on Edmonton's farm team. That's something that has been a little bit of an adjustment for all of us, but you have to remember, just like I said to him, it's still hockey and you still have to go up there and do the same things I did at the NHL level, and I'm getting used to that.
What was the pressure like playing in Oklahoma City compared to playing in Edmonton?
There's not a whole lot of pressure playing in Oklahoma. You kind of miss being counted on to make every play like you are in Edmonton, but like I said, it's nice to have a break a little bit, but we'd rather be in front of our fans.
How's Movember going?
Well, I'm trying. I don't grow much of a mustache. I grow a blonde beard, so I'm going to have to maybe dye my mustache sooner or later.
So how does having a lockout, or probably a lockout this early in the stages of your career, affect at all the years coming?
Well, it kind of hampers your development maybe a little bit, but the whole situation sucks, I think, for everyone involved. Everyone's missing out on some good hockey that's to be played. There's a lot of storylines that come through the season that can happen, and we're missing out on that, and it sucks. But as far as my development, I'm having fun here, and I think I'm growing as a player still, even in the AHL.
We'll also put a picture of this on the website. My Movember reference was due to the fact that pretty much had nothing going on the lip whatsoever at all. He kind of stroked that, and he was a little embarrassed about that. He's a young guy.
Yeah, it takes me quite a while to grow a mustache. That's why I never shave.
I have to say, if I am making fun of somebody's mustache, it's got to be a sorry state, because, Movember just is not my thing.
But he also had some interesting comments on the lockout, which I know you wanted to address.
Well, he was very diplomatic the first time, but then the second time it was brought up, he started using the word sucks a few times. And he also said, I'd rather be playing, I'm paraphrasing, I'd rather be playing in Edmonton because there is some good hockey to be played. Now, one could infer that he's saying that there's not good hockey in the AHL to be played. Although, he certainly didn't mean it that way.
Well, he's been in the league for a couple of years now. He was in the same year as Sagan, right?
Yes, because last year was Nugent Hopkins' first year, and they joked about him leaning on the veterans of Taylor Hall and
Jordan Eberle. Yeah, so Hall's been in the league for a couple of years now. So, to be an elite, well, someone who everybody thinks is going to be in the upper echelon of NHL players, to have to then step back, and he even talked about having to slow himself down to be able to make plays at the AHL level.
Well, and it is interesting also, it was only his third game after rehabbing his shoulder.
Yeah.
And he's got 2 goals already. He can certainly play the game. Although, before they won this game, 2-1 against Abbotsford, they had not scored in 189 minutes of hockey.
That's impressive. You have to almost be trying not to score for that length of time.
They were shut out twice in a row, once by Abbotsford and once by, I want to say, Houston. And then against Abbotsford, they didn't score until the midway through the third period in the Saturday game. Now, mind you, remember, the AHL also, they do this crazy thing where they play three games in three nights. Yeah. So they play Friday night, Saturday night, and Sunday. I don't know if Houston had the same schedule or not.
Well, I mean, even if they didn't, that kind of back-to-back-to-back play really lends itself to getting yourself into a slump or getting onto a really good hot streak.
True enough. Now, mind you, they've also got a long roster, and they're always dropping people in and putting people out. And because of the NHL players on that squad, they've got an even longer roster than they usually do.
Mm-hmm.
Right? Because they're a development team, they're constantly having people slot in and come out. So I don't really know how much I not playing that kind of competitive hockey, obviously. I don't know how much that really affects. But in the NHL, we're constantly hearing about the back-to-back.
Yep.
The tail end of a back-to-back being tough. How about a back-to-back-to-back?
Yeah. There's also the added incentive that other teams have to play the Barons tough. Because most of the teams in the AHL are not significantly changed from last year. Most of the teams, most NHL team stars are going overseas to play, or they're just sitting out as the Sedins have chosen to do.
Thing is AHL, there's an age limit of who can actually go down. I don't know the exact rules, but there are only a certain number of players that are allowed to be assigned to the minors or to the farm team, as opposed to having the freedom to go overseas. I don't really know what the rules are on that, but you'll notice that there's not a single older NHLer who has gone to the AHL now. There have been some that were where their salaries were buried, like Wade Redden, for example.
Mm-hmm.
But none of them have actually reported to or been assigned to an NHL team at 27 or 28, 30 years old.
Hmm.
It's only these young guns who have.
I didn't consider that there was an actual rule preventing it.
I don't know what the rule is. I probably should have done some research.
In any event, though,
research. Oh, that would be great.
The Barons, though, have ended up with one of the more stacked lineups in the AHL.
Yeah, I mean, usually that's reserved for a place like Hershey, the Hershey Bears, right?
Yeah.
When Sheldon Surrey was on the team. And
well, the point being that, you know, they could be getting shut down because teams are making
harder.
A point of shutting them down defensively that right. They're not making for other teams.
Yeah, certainly it would be like the President's Trophy winner or the Stanley Cup winner coming to town in the NHL. When a team comes to town that's that highly touted, it has got that many stars on, you get up for that game, even if you're the bottom of the league.
Yeah, I would think it would be even more pronounced in the AHL when you've got this many NHL stars coming to town. But yeah, your point stands.
Yeah. Certainly, because of the NHL stars, the Heat sold out the building two nights in a row.
Yeah, and a lot of that. Do you think it was the NHL star appeal, or do you think it was just all the Oilers fans in Vancouver went out?
The Barons do not sell out usually when they come to town. I believe that this is a couple of the first sellouts they've had that were not Canucks farm teams in the last couple of years.
Hmm.
I'll give you an idea. The Marlies, when they come to town, normally there's quite a few people who come to the building because it's the Toronto Maple Leafs. On Thursday, when the Marlies were here, they only had 1,800 people.
Building holds what,
7,000 and change. Alberta. Until the lockout ends, this is as close as it gets.
Yeah. So what else have you been doing with your time? And you've been going to a few games.
I've gone to quite a few Giants games, and you've seen the pictures, and I've been trying to get better at the photography, which is I'm having a lot of fun with. It's tough, you know. I don't have a $3,000 lens to get that really sharp, fast action, so I've got to pick my spots.
Mm-hmm.
I can't get, you know, in the middle of a breakaway. I just can't freeze it enough, so I've got to pick the types of shots that I'm getting. I'm pretty happy with. By the time this goes online, I will have gone to the Russia WHL Stars game
right
at the arena. I'm kind of hoping to meet Phil Esposito, and I'm kind of hoping he'll cross-check me in the face. I think that would be pretty cool.
Well, he's more likely, from what I understand of his personality these days, to see a media member and offer an interview. Never met a microphone he doesn't like is the phrase I heard him described with today.
Okay, kind of like Bobby Hall. Bobby Hall's the same way.
Hmm.
Bobby Hall, actually, he's the guy who invented the, if you're going to sell it on eBay, I'm going to sign everything that doesn't move so that it's my signature's worthless. And he'll sign cards of other players. It's pretty funny. For Pucked in the Head, I'm Jason Paiello.
I'm Chris Withers.
It's been a slice, sir.
Well, you take care.
Let me speak plain. I've got to sit and wait for my mouth to catch up to my brain. Time is spinning clockwise down the drain. Come back to me soon, because I'll soon be out of range. I'm feeling able as Cain. I only take these for pain. Broke out of rehab just like Ahab in that book by Mark Twain. Don't you worry, I'll see you back here again. I don't mean to complain, but it's familiar terrain. I'm firing melon balls from cannons on the Spanish Main, but I'm alright. It's just a red wine stain. It's all too normal now, where once it seemed so strange. Time for a construction crane, and I'm tearing up the rules to the game. Now the moon's on the wane, I'm feeling slightly more sane. I'm riding shotgun with my stuntman, and we're ready for fame, but I'm losing my grip on the reins. It's all too